waiting for you. They excel in educating and motivating grassroots Americans just like you to make a real change, change we can all believe in. Membership costs nothing. That's right, nothing, but means everything. Michigan residents are overtaxed and overregulated. Help Michigan remove the barriers to prosperity for all its residents by getting involved now. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org/Michigan today. That's AmericansForProsperity.org/Michigan.
The views, opinions, and content of this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of this station or its management.
All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your hosts for today's program, Dale Thronberry and Bob Gould.
Hey, and good afternoon, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. It's a great day to be here. We want to make sure everybody knows that today is December 7th, and we realize that this is the 73rd anniversary of the sudden attack on Pearl Harbor
in
Hawaii. And I think, Bob, you were there. I wasn't sure, probably.
But, well, yes, it was, but and there was a ship there that happened to escape serious damage. That was a USS Detroit.
That's right. I read that this morning in the Detroit Free Press. We'll give them a little plug. And tell me about the USS Detroit. What type of ship was it?
Yeah, it was a cruiser. It was a light cruiser, and it was commissioned in 1929, 555 feet and 6 inches. How did they figure that?
It's a really long ruler.
I mean, really, huh? You know, 555 feet, and they had to get to 6. But anyway, they were. It was between the Raleigh and the Utah, and the Utah was the targeted ship. They were moored
right
together, and of course, we know what happened to the Utah. It was sunk, but the Detroit escaped, and it joined a task force that went out after the carriers.
Yes, I did read that. They went out to try and find out where the airplanes came from, right?
But a lot of people don't know that we just weren't paralyzed at that moment. We actually organized a small flotilla, and they went after the Japanese carriers. And it came back on the 10th of December, and that's where it was its home port for a while. Then it went up to the Aleutians. And it really served quite well, history.
Right. I saw that it was throughout the Pacific, throughout World War II, and at the end of the war, it got junked.
It was sold. It was decommissioned in September of 45, and then it was scrapped in February of 46.
Well, we just want to, pay our respects and honor to all of those veterans that were there on December 7th of 1941, and that served during World War II. We have not forgotten you, and we are going to be talking probably about some of you throughout the day. We want to make sure that we're going to be talking about Gifts for Veterans today, too. This is always our 11th annual Gifts for Veterans program.
11 years.
I know. And we've been and we have been talking to people about books and other types of gifts. So if you have something that you would like to offer to veterans, or maybe you think that a veteran or their family might want as some sort of a gift for the coming holiday season, you can give us a call here at Talk Radio 1600. That's 734-822-1600 in southeastern Michigan, 734-822-1600. Or you can call us toll-free at 844-838-1600. That's 844-VET-1600. If you have any gifts, let us know.
I do want to tell all our listeners out there to get a pen, pencil, and a pad of paper, because we're going to have a ton of information.
We do. We have we have some authors on that'll be talking about their books. I also want to remind, or I don't know if I want to remind you, but I want to tell you toward the end of the program, unfortunately, a very good friend of Veterans Radio and all of us personally, Michael J. Martin, passed away this last week. A true troubadour. He's been on Veterans Radio numerous times. His songs are just so powerful. We have an interview that I did with Michael back in 2012 that we're going to play toward the end of the program. So you want to stick around for that, and we're going to play some of his music later on too. But Michael J. Martin
was, he was a big buddy of Gary's.
Oh, he was a very good friend of Gary. Gary had, had met him, I believe, at a Vietnam Veterans of America National Convention and convinced him to come up here. He has done a number of concerts in Michigan, and in fact, the first time we were at Wham, he did a, he was sitting right where you're sitting right now and played music live on Veterans Radio.
I remember
Radio.
That. Mm-hmm.
And it was so impressive because he's just such a, he was such a nice, down-to-earth guy. He always talked positively about his experiences of being a veteran and wanted to make sure that he lifted up all the veterans around him and let them know that they were honored and respected. And I think you're going to like some of the songs that we've picked if we can get them to play.
No, we can
correctly.
Also say that folks can buy his
His CDs are available on MichaelJMartinMusic.com. That's MichaelJMartinMusic.com. There was a letter from his son expressing you know, his thoughts about his dad, and it was a very powerful letter. And when I get home tonight, I'll try to get that out on our website for people. Find out if he wants to share it. I couldn't verify it. I was very nervous because I'd received the email from another person saying it, but I couldn't find any other information about it anywhere, so I was really afraid to even say anything, so hopefully that, you know, it wasn't an exaggeration. So anyhow, we things are going on here on Veterans Radio, and also here at our home station, WAAM,
Talk Radio 1600.
They got some sort of gig going on, don't they?
Yes. And every year for the past 4 or 5 years, I guess, something like that, but they have been having their, let me get it correctly here, their Toys for Tots. There we go. It's the 8th annual 1600 Toys for 1600 Girls and Boys. It's the Christmas Toy Drive. Now, you know, folks, there's a lot of scarves being bought and socks and ties that are probably going to sit in a drawer or, I mean, you know, right, yeah. Okay, Uncle Harry, thank you very much for that singing tie. And think about having a gift for one of the kids, because that's really, truly, it's about giving Christmas, and the kids are everything. So how do you go about the Wham! Toys for 1600 Girls and Boys? Well, you go to the Wham! Collection Box. Where's that, Bob? Well, you go to whamradio.com, WAAMradio.com, and that'll have the locations of where the collection boxes are. So you want to do that quickly because the toy drive ends in 5 days.
Okay. Are these secret locations?
No.
They're on the website. Their website.
Yeah. You're going to have to go to the website. And it's going to be for young teens, too. Games, CDs. I'm just reading here what they want. Sports equipment, jewelry, and makeup, as well as toys. And this is a good chance to help up a needy kid, you know, put a smile in. That means a lot.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this local area, and I'm sure that there are wherever you are listening about the warm the children and so forth. Help them out.
Veterans are very generous, very
notorious for being helpful. I know that the local veterans are going to be up at the VA hospital and going around trying to sing Christmas carols, and hopefully we don't break too many windows with our voices, but they always appreciate it, and I know that that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. There's the local community college is doing the same thing.
And if you have some time, you might want to call the VA and volunteer. There are some activities that you can help them promote and help them organize. Not where you do all that, but just like be there, you know. That's all they
want. All the patients that are up there, they like company. You know, imagine you're in a hospital over the holidays, and this is a great opportunity for you to come and do that.
And so often we hear, well, man, I don't know what we're going to talk to them about. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to talk to them about.
hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
And let the veteran up there. So I'll be at the VA. There'll be all kinds of volunteering. Folks, get out there. Do something. Don't be sitting on your snowballs and thumbs and all that. And, you know, snowmen and all that other stuff. So.
Right. Yes, we're all going to be out there to help our people around. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to be talking about books. We're going to be talking with a couple of authors and, you know, gearing you and directing you toward our website to look at some of the gifts that we offer. We'll be right back after this message.
Living at American House is like being on a cruise ship, with all the lovely surroundings, the many, many activities, and the people to share with. It's so comfortable to be here. I feel safe. I don't have to shop. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean up.
When you move into an American House senior living community, you open the door to a new world of possibilities. Our life enrichment directors are committed to enhancing the lives of residents every day. We look forward to finding out what interests you.
I just get dressed up and walk down to the dining room and enjoy my meals in the company of other people at my table.
For more moments made in American House, go to AmericanHouse.com. Again, that's AmericanHouse.com. Or watch us at YouTube.com/AmericanHouseLiving.
Living here has enriched my life. I'm Carol Huck, and I made in American House.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, Gifts for Veterans, and the first person we're going to be having on the program today is a local author for Southeastern Michigan, and joining me on the line right now is Bob Newcomb. Bob, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Sir?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir.
Don't have to call me, sir. I was just a warrant officer.
Well, everybody's a sir to me now.
That's true. Well, that's part of our generation, too, I think. Bob contacted Veterans Radio, and you could do this just as well. You go in on our website and click Contact Us, and he told me about this book that he's written entitled, and I love the title, It's My Grenade, Get Your Own. So tell me a little bit about your story here.
Well, you know, I was a 17-year-old kid during the peak of the Vietnam War. And I felt it was my duty to enlist and volunteer. I wasn't waiting to be drafted. I actually completed artillery training when I had my 18th birthday and volunteered for Vietnam because I thought that was what everybody was supposed to do.
Well, that's true. And if Bob, I get Bob's attention over here, he's reading something dramatically. He went to Fort Knox. Fort Knox.
Yes. I was back to Fort Knox for my basic combat training, and then to Fort Sill for advanced artillery training.
What year were you at Knox, Bob?
I got to Knox at about 3 o'clock in the morning on September 11th.
Wow.
I think they make it so everybody arrives at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure.
I know it's about the same time I arrived at Fort Polk in Louisiana in October of 1967. I think that was planned. And I really, anyway, for our listeners out here, this is a great story of going through basic. And for those of you out there that went through basic in the 1960s, you remember those big yellow footprints where you had to put your feet?
And remember what your mother said. Now you do what the sergeant tells you. Yeah, right.
So anyway, so tell me a little bit about this, Bob. I just got the book the other day. I did have a chance to read a couple of chapters, and I really didn't want to put it down because I was laughing so hard. So many of these things came back, and just, you know, as difficult as they were at the time, it seemed, they're pretty humorous today.
Well, there's a lot of laughter, and there's a few tears in there as well. The point of the story was I wanted to be able to tell it like I was talking to somebody sitting at the bar, and they said, you know, what did you do?
Right.
And I was just like, well, okay. And I just told a series of very, very short stories of the things that I recollected. And it took me almost 3 years to write the book because I didn't trust my own memory.
That's true.
I started writing in 2003, and I stumbled into the Texas Tech Archive, Texas Tech University Vietnam Archive, mm-hmm. and I was able to pull up an amazing reservoir of after-action reports, daily reports that resurrected and proved like 99.5% of my memories I actually was able to document.
It is always nice to go back and actually prove that you did what you thought you had done.
Yeah, the fog of time and war can be very thick sometimes.
It is.
But, it was a cathartic experience to write it, and I'm glad I did. I was able to get in touch with some folks that I never thought I could have due to the benefits of the Internet. I stumbled into folks that both did and did not want to reconnect with me, which was interesting.
It is kind of surprising sometimes when they do that. But, all you can do is offer.
That's exactly my point. I haven't made a bunch of money with it, but I really am glad I wrote the book because a lot of people have told me it's entertaining and enlightening. You know, what was it like to be a 105 howitzer gunner and right after the Tet Offensive in 68? It was interesting.
I'm sure that it was. How's your hearing?
Pretty severe case of tinnitus from that, because they offered us hearing protection, but where I was typically, you didn't want to wear earplugs because you couldn't hear the little buzzy bees of those little sniper bullets.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, even though we wore helmets, it was still a lot of noise, and you wanted to be able to hear everything out there. Well, you were just for our audience, especially those Vietnam veterans or the families of Vietnam veterans out there, you were all over the country.
Yeah, we were, am I allowed to say the B word? We were what we called a bastard unit, and we would be assigned to anybody that needed an air mobile artillery battery on the Prado. We were always on a one-hour airlift alert, so that we would just pack up and go. Within 1 hour, there'd be a stack of Chinooks there to pick us up and drop us who knows where.
Well, I was looking at some of the titles of the chapters in your book, and you were down in the Delta, you were up in the DMZ, you were in Three Corps, you were at Lac Ninh, Quan Loi, Tay Ninh, a lot of the area I hung around in. And I'm talking with Bob Newcomb, the author of the book is It's My Grenade, Get Your Own. I like the title a lot. Where could they get a hold of this, Bob?
Well, just go on Amazon and look for either Robert K. Newcomb or It's My Grenade, Get Your Own.
All right, and we're going to be putting this up on our own website in the next couple of days so people can check it out there. And
they can buy it.
Yes, they can. They can buy it. In fact, I'll bet you, where do you live, Bob?
I live in Wixom, but do you want to know where the title came from?
Yes, I do. Where did the title come from?
Well, when I did get wounded, it took them 11 months to get me. I got medevaced out to a special hospital. I believe it was in Tay Ninh. I wasn't really aware of where I was. And they hauled me in there and started patting me down. And some medic felt a large object in my flak jacket pocket. And he asked, what was that? And he started to reach in there and take it. And I said, it's my grenade. Get your own. And about 40 hands fell upon me and pinned me down while they gingerly removed my grenade and took it out of the operating room.
Oh, geez. Those guys had no sense of humor.
Exactly.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. I encourage our audience to go to Amazon and go to our own bookstore and get this book. It's My Grenade, Get Your Own by Robert K. Newcomb. And, Bob, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. When I'm done reading the book, we'll have you back on and we can have a little talk.
God bless America.
Absolutely. God bless you, too. Thank you very much. All right. So we're here back on Veterans Radio, and we're, holy moly, we're moving right along here.
Yes. I have a couple of books.
Okay, Bob.
I have a couple of
Bob
books.
Bob reads as well as I do. We both read. It's amazing.
We have this, but I have a couple of books because I know that my readers and listeners all want to hear this stuff. Right now we want to talk about Kevin Hemel. Right, he's a historian, been on our program about 4 or 5 times, and he's written a great book, and everybody likes Patton. You really don't find anybody that really didn't like the guy. So he has this wonderful book, Patton's Photographs and Patton, Legendary World War II Commander. Patton's Photographs. If you notice, he has Patton in a number of the photos. Even when he's directing and doing things, he has his camera around his neck. And you don't notice it because it's there with the binoculars and the pistols. And he took photographs all over. I mean, took a ton of photographs. And Kevin Himmel, H-Y-M-E-L, Patton's Photographs, and Patton, the legendary World War II commander. Those are two great books. Boy, you can make those. What do they call that? Coffee table books. Yeah,
it's like the Kramer thing on Seinfeld. You can make a coffee table out of some of those books.
On some of those.
You know,
books.
Those are pretty big.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Can I go to Dwight now?
And
you got another one.
No,
right.
I have one more. I have one more from John McManus, the author, John McManus. He's been on our program numerous times. He has a number of books, and that is The Dead and Those Who Are About to Die. John C. McManus, M-C-M-A-N-U-S. That is about D-Day. Aha, D-Day. And again, the title is The Dead and Those Who Are About to Die. From John C. McManus. He also wrote the book September Hope, which is about Market Garden. And this guy's a great writer. I mean, they both are. Kevin and John are great writers, but good stuff. And the third book by John McManus is Alamo in the Ardennes. What happened right now? How many years ago? 70 years ago. The Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, the Battle of the Bulge is coming up in a couple of weeks.
And
December 16th. You just talked about it last week, I think.
Yeah. December 16th is when it all. So that's Alamo and the Ardennes, The Dead and Those Who Are About to Die, September Hope, and Patton's Photographs.
Thank you, sir. We're going to come back. Bob's got a lot of lit.
I
encourage people to go to the Veterans Radio bookstore, because we've got almost all the books, at least for the last year, that we have talked about and back a couple of years, and you're going to find some great stories on there. In fact, some of the books in the Veterans Radio bookstore were written by our next guest, and that is Dwight Zimmerman. So as we get ready to punch Dwight up on the line, I don't mean punch Dwight.
Punch. Oh.
Well, hey, Dwight, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, hi.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here again.
Well, we're so happy to have you on the air. We're going to kind of go from World War II to an area that your newest book is about. Why don't you tell us about that secret place?
Okay. Well, before I get into Area 51, my graphic history of America's most secret military installation is like the biggest open secret around. People are saying I'm going to be speaking with a weird lisp or anything like that. Well, I just lost a crown on one of my front teeth, so I got a gap in my mouth.
Ouch.
And,
For Christmas.
If I were a bulky football player, I would fit right in.
That's true. You can go back to that song of the 50s when we grew up about All I Want for Christmas is a New Front Tooth.
New Front Tooth.
Yep. You got that right. So, anyway, basically to the listeners, if I lisp a little bit, well, it's because I've got a little bit more space between my teeth than normal. But, yes, Area 51 just came out in November, and I'm really thrilled about this. It's a graphic history. As you guys know, I had a comic book background. I worked at Marvel Comics. I wrote stories about Wolverine, the X-Men, Spider-Man, Iron Man. Yeah, basically any of the major heroes. I wrote stories about them. So, and then when I got into the military history side of things, what I was so thrilled about, and you guys know that from my Vietnam graphic history, I was able to, take my experience and my enthusiasm and interest, and love, both fields, and combine them, into these things, starting with, the Vietnam War graphic history. This latest one, Greg Scott is my artist on the project, and he did an absolutely fabulous job. And we sent copies of the books out to varying people, and I have to say, including individuals who were stationed or responsible for operations in Area 51. And if you can, give me this. Richard L. Weaver, a colonel from the Air Force, is also a special agent, Air Force officer of special investigations, and he was responsible for a lot of things that were going on in Area 51, and he said, and I quote, Zimmerman packs a ton of information into a book that helps explain and understand one of America's worst-kept secrets about one of its most vital technological national assets. You know how tough it is to do all these S-words with a
Yes, I can only imagine what that's like. Dwight, I'm going to ask you to stay on because we're going to take a break here in just a minute. So hang on. We're going to go around the bottom of the hour and come back and talk to you. We're talking with Dwight Zimmerman. I want to remind people of his book about Area 51. This is a book that my grandson swiped from me. He took it. So anyway, so we're going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Blaze Radio News. I'm Dave Perkins. Despite the frightening record of terrorist violence piling up for former Gitmo detainees, six more of them out the door while you were sleeping. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
The six detainees spending over 12 years in the prison are now in Uruguay for resettlement as refugees. All six men detained as suspected terrorists with ties to Al-Qaeda but never charged. The Pentagon identifying the men as four Syrians, a Tunisian, and Palestinian. They're the first Gitmo prisoners to be sent to South America. Obama pledging to close the prison upon taking office but facing opposition from Congress.
With this weekend's runoff election loss by Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, the Democrat Party has no more Deep South statewide office holders. The winner, LSU medical professor Dr. Bill Cassidy, needing only to remind the voters Landrieu voting with Obama 97% of the time. More on the tantalizing possibility that the Norks might have declared war on Sony. The Blaze Radio's Chris Barnes.
Sony Pictures producing an upcoming film called The Interview that has really riled North Korea. It depicts an assassination plot against the supreme leader there.
Take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
An unidentified spokesman for the North's powerful defense commission acknowledging that the hack, in his words, might be a righteous deed, though denying any knowledge of the North being involved. On NBC's Saturday Night Live, the stars of the film had some fun with that whole story. James Franco, one of the stars, was guest hosting SNL.
And I know eventually they're going to start leaking out stuff about me. So before you hear it somewhere else, soon you'll know that my email is cuter than Dave Franco at AOL.com.
And his co-star in the movie, Seth Rogen, making an appearance, too.
Worst of all, they leaked our Christmas card.
The interview release date, December 25th.
I'm Dave Perkins. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by A&H Lawn Service. Now here's Theron.
Finally, after six long years of progressive Democrat Party damage, we get a shot at righting this sinking ship of state. The midterm election 2014 hopefully will go down in American history as the year that not only the self-inflicted political and cultural wound bleeding was stopped, but also the year that we became a nation of law and order again. Hopefully a president that selectively enforces laws that suit his progressive needs will be reined in, muzzled, and put on hold for the remainder of his destructive term. And hopefully the overwhelming Republican victory at the polls will be aggressively pushed forward, not squandered on reaching across the aisle. The Republican sweep was a message to stand against this president's lawless policy, not work with it, not find so-called common ground. The bad news for Michigan is that we are still controlled by a walking zombie progressive electorate, an electorate that opted for Debbie Dingell and Gary Peters' left-wing wishful thinking over logic. The good news is that they are both negated, rendered useless by the Republican majority nationwide. November 4th was a very good day.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. They've been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991, including landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. They have the professional experience you can count on. Call 734-429-5778 and see how their business can help your business, or visit ahlawncare.com.
Behold these truths.
to be self-evident, that all men are created equal,
that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights,
that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
In April of 2009, the Rattle With Us Tea Party was formed in an effort to take a stand for fiscal responsibility, limited government, and free markets. We firmly believe that our venom is our vote. Visit rattlewithus.com for details on monthly meetings and events.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back on Veterans Radio here at Gifts for Vets. And we're talking with our friend Dwight Zimmerman, who's missing a tooth, but it doesn't sound so bad to us. So, Dwight, tell us, we were talking about Area 51. People can find this where?
Oh, thank you, Dale. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's also available in comic book shops throughout the country and regular bookstores. I'm very happy. The publisher is based in Minnesota. They've been very aggressive about getting it out there, in every venue. And, Dale, I have to say, I am really happy to hear that your grandson was so excited about it that he took it from you.
Well, he did. I was looking all over for it, and I finally called him, and he says, yeah, I've got it. You wouldn't do that.
No, that's great.
It is great. I mean, a lot of these books, if we can get these younger kids to start reading them, even if they are in this graphic type of format, I think that it's going to be very helpful for all of us to get them interested and excited about history.
Yeah, well, that was my whole thrust with this, and why I was so excited about getting, when I was given the opportunities with my publishers to do these graphic versions of various historical things, because especially with boys, in the middle grades, the big thing has been, how do you get boys who are they're typified as reluctant readers? Well, you give them something exciting, something that will be interesting for them. And the nice thing here is that Area 51 is one of the ideal things, because it's got airplanes, it's got all kinds of fascinating behind-the-scenes stories, great visuals. Obviously, I'm prejudiced for it. I think the story's very exciting.
It's got a great story, Dwight. And I want to encourage people to go to find this book. We're going to have it up on our website shortly. And in the meantime, if you do go to Amazon.com, you can get it. There are many other books that Dwight has written. And Dwight, I got to kind of cut you off here, because we've got a full half hour here for the second half of the program. So Dwight Zimmerman, Area 51, go find it, go buy it. Thanks, Dwight. Have a happy holiday.
Happy.
Yeah, and Bob and Dale, thank you so much. And to all of you and everyone at Veterans Radio, great Christmas, New Year's, and go blue.
We'll try. Thanks. All right. Do you got something else you want to talk about before I get my next guest?
I got it.
All right.
Okay, we're getting that person. But right now I got a couple more books right here. Neil Armstrong, The Life of Flight. Jay Barbary, you know him, NBC space correspondent for about 30 years. Neil Armstrong, The Life of Flight. Great book. Great book. And I also have another one here, Level Zero Heroes. Level Zero Heroes, all about Afghanistan, and that's with Michael Golembesky, Golembesky. So if you want something about Afghanistan, you want to get Level Zero Heroes.
There's a lot of books. Go to Veterans Radio Bookstore. You're going to find them, all different types of stories about veterans.
You can do all your Christmas shopping.
You can do all your Christmas shopping right there. Joining me on the line right now is Colonel Cole Kingseed. He has written a book, The Conversations with Major Dick Winters, and this Dick Winters guy is really cool because he was the commander of the Band of Brothers. So, Cole, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. It's nice to be here.
Thank you very much. We've had such a difficult time connecting to talk about this book, so I got to get right into it right away. Tell me about Dick Winters. What was so special about him?
Well, Dick Winters was a very complicated man. He was very difficult to know. But once he allowed you into the inner circle, however, you could really discern the essence of the man. And that's what the book Conversations is all about.
Now, Dick Winters was at Normandy, correct?
Dick Winters was a member of Easy Company in the 101st Airborne Division, and Dick jumped into Normandy in the early hours of D-Day.
Well, you know, we've talked to so many people on this program from the 101st Airborne who were jumped into Normandy. I'll bet a lot of them know Major Winters and can probably verify and back up all your – well, you've probably talked to most of them, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, Dick Winters was, to me, Dale, Dick Winters kind of personified the paratroopers who comprised the 101st Airborne as well as the 82nd Airborne.
Mm-hmm.
They were very, very agile in their mental makeup. They were very physically fit, and they were, and they proved to be a very essential ingredient of our victory on D-Day.
Well, one of the things that you point out in a lot of in your conversations with Major Winters is the idea of leadership and the skills that he learned while being in the 101st. And you talk about his qualities of honesty, fairness, and consistency. Can you talk about that just a bit?
Well, I certainly can. Leadership is, of course, very difficult to define. Most people understand what it is when they see it, but it's hard to define it. Here's what the Supreme Commander said. I'm talking about General Eisenhower. He said this: the one quality that can be developed by studious reflection and practice is the leadership of men. And for Dick Winters, that meant to lead by example and to be a leader of character as well as competence as well as a leader of courage.
I'm just fascinated by this man. And when he talks about his working with the troops, he always used we instead of I. He always, you know, was very inclusive with all of his troops.
Well, you know what? He always was. And even after the HBO miniseries that came out in 2001, and a lot of your listeners have watched that, Dick always spoke of Easy Company. He said, this is not the story of Dick Winters. It is the story of the paratroopers that comprised Easy Company.
Well, you know, and I'm sorry to cut this short, and we'll probably have to try to have you on again, but, you know, we follow Major Winters all the way from Normandy up through the concentration camps. Can you give me a little idea of his reaction to that?
Well, the concentration camps, as Dick told me many times, it is difficult to describe, and you cannot underestimate it. And it demonstrated to the soldiers who witnessed that why we have to go to war.
Right. And I just want to make sure that people understand that, you know, these men from World War II and, you know, this greatest generation, they lived through these things, and they wanted to make sure that we didn't have to go through it again. And I think that's the main story of this book and many of these World War II books that we have read in the past, is that we don't want to have to go through a war like that. But we can see that man's evil behavior sometimes needs us, makes us go to war to protect the underclass.
Dale's exactly right. What Dick would always say is this: war doesn't make men great, but war sometimes brings out the greatness in good men. And if there's a message to your listeners, it would be this: hate war, but love the warrior.
Absolutely right, because you see, there are no organizations out there about Veterans for War, that's for sure.
That's right.
Not that I'm aware of. I'm talking here with Cole Kingseed, who has written a book entitled Conversations with Major Dick Winters, who was the commander of the Band of Brothers. That's 101st Airborne Easy Company, for those of you that watched the documentary. And where can we find this book?
You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in virtually every airport of the nation's airports. It's in there in all the airports. I've been traveling a lot over the last month, and it's in virtually every one of the airports.
Well, I strongly encourage our listeners to go out and get this book. As a matter of fact, that's where I picked up a second copy of it, was at an airport a couple of weeks ago. And it's a great read. This man is fascinating, and I want to congratulate you on doing such a great job of telling the story of Dick Winters.
Well, you're very kind, Dale. And, you know, and that thing, I always want to, particularly on this day, you know, when you ask about people going to war, of course, on this day, we remember Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, Cole, and we'll be talking again with you real soon.
Thank you so much, Dale. Take care.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to be taking a quick break, and then we're going to come back with our dedication, I guess you could say, to Michael J. Martin. I don't know if we'll be talking to you live again, but it all depends on the clock. We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
Schoolcraft College is proud to have served the communities of Southeast Michigan for 5 decades. So it should come as no surprise that they're just as committed to serving those who have served our country. Schoolcraft College Veteran Services provides assistance to veterans using their educational benefits. They help with the VA benefits application process, provide academic advising, and plan programs of study according to VA guidelines. Classes are forming now in Livonia and Garden City. Visit schoolcraft.edu for more information.
Live, live, live right there. You live, live, live right there. I'm telling you.
I'll hear it in the car.
Something's coming down the road.
Something's coming down the road.
We call ourselves Last Patrol.
We call ourselves Last Patrol.
We come to bring our brothers home.
We come to bring our brothers home.
Sound off.
1, 2.
Sound off.
3, 4.
Bring them all home.
1, 2, 3, 4.
B-O-W-M-I-A.
B-O-W-M-I-A.
Shame of all the USA.
Shame of all the USA.
How can you look the other way?
How can you look the other way?
That ain't the way that we were raised.
That ain't the way that we were raised.
Sound off.
1, 2.
Sound off.
3, 4.
Ring them all home.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
And that's Michael J. Martin. And I want to just let everybody know that Michael passed away this last week, and we're very shocked by the loss, of course. I know he's been very ill over the last couple of years and has been fighting. He's always fighting with the VA. This is a very courageous man. He's a good friend of Gary Lilly, a good friend of veterans everywhere. And I just wanted to, we're going to play an interview that we had, I had done with Michael J. Back in 2012. The quality of it is not so good. I think I had another cold at the same when I was doing that interview, so you're going to have Dan play with the volume here as we go along. So if we're all set and ready to go with that, we can do it right now. This is Michael J. Martin from March 2012.
Michael, try again. Welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hey, it's good to be back, Dale. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in.
You know, it's interesting listening to that song, why I picked that, and with all three of you that have been on the program today, is that your job, what you are doing, is letting the world know that these veterans that are coming home have, you know, many of us have paid the ultimate price. Some of us are just a little bit messed up from whatever it was that we did, and that we're not going to forget about any of them.
Well, that was the objective, you know, when Tim Holliday, old Navy corpsman, and I teamed up. I was an Army grunt point man for most of my year tour. And so the combination of the two of us, we kind of covered the whole spectrum there. But we set out from the get-go. We said, well, we're going to take on a very serious subject matter, but we're going to do it with pride. And we're going to talk about the camaraderie, and We're not going to be crying in your beer. That didn't get you anywhere. That self-pity is quicksand. It's a booby trap. So we stayed away with, you know, our songs are very real, but we stayed away from the pity that so many of the other artists, you know, the people that aren't Vietnam veterans, they tend to write with a overly sympathetic point of view. You know, the born in the USA and still in Saigon and so forth. It's like, well, he didn't hear these poor guys that we should feel sorry for them. And I've never met a warrior that didn't want anybody to feel sorry for him.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And I think that that's so important. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this program was, you know, all three of you have served in combat, and all of your songs are really, I find them all positive. Even if they're sad songs, there's still a very positive story behind them.
Well, I'm from the Woody Guthrie school. You know, he wrote about the Depression. He just said that it wasn't his job to bring people down; it was to lift them up. You know, so I've always used that credo. You know, and tried to make my songs to write my songs in such a way that they wouldn't lift people up.
Well, we've been very fortunate in knowing Michael J. Martin for quite a while. He's a good friend of our former partner Gary Lilly. And he's been up here in Michigan a number of times to perform. In fact, I think you were on one of our programs at one of our other stations, and you were playing live, and that's just amazing. So we want to make sure everybody gets the opportunity to see Michael J. Martin in person. If he's anywhere near you, are you out touring again, or are you still recovering?
Well, no, I've had, you know, like it's a complicated issue with a blood clot, cutting off blood to my liver. It's caused me to be pretty sick this last year, and I'm not up to performing yet. But people can hear my music on my website. I've got the myspace.com/MichaelJMartinMusic. Then I've also got a new website that is going to be more expensive and easier to navigate, and it's called MichaelJMartin.com. Or MichaelJMartinMusic.com.
Right. So we've got links to all of the website on the front page of our website. For this program, and
I've got a new CD called "Unsung Heroes and Bonafide Characters" that I'm really proud of. I guess you didn't get the package in time.
No, unfortunately, right? I didn't get it, and my technical skills abandoned me this morning as I was trying to download. One of your tunes, I couldn't get it to download, about When Your Daddy Comes Home.
Oh, yeah, I think that one's probably the most relevant. That would probably have been a really good choice. And it talks about, you know, again, we go back to the realism, you know, that it's, you know, when your daddy comes home, it's those heart-rending images of these guys coming home to their families and so forth that they played on the news so much. But I think that a lot of times, they don't understand that there's going to be more to it. There's a one verse in it that says, when your daddy comes home, he may want to be, it's like a grandfather talking to the daughter, you know, and he said, when your daddy comes home, he may want to be alone, he may go off on his own sometimes. What we need to know is that we've done nothing wrong. It's just the war that he has known still on his mind. And I think that it kind of prepares people to let them know that even the ones that came out, you know, apparently in one piece, there's still scars, and anybody who's been touched by war is going to be impacted. And a lot of times that they overlook the casualties at home, the families that have to do with that fathers
oh,
and
absolutely.
That husband, so forth, you know. So I think that this kind of this gives a nod a new direction too, and I've really gotten great response off the song. You know, I'm recording here in Nashville with some really great people now, and I'm doing the best quality music that I've ever done, I believe.
Well, I'm going to be very excited to get that CD, Michael J. And as soon as I get it, we'll schedule you for another program so that we can listen to your new music, because.
Oh, anytime. You know, you mentioned Gary Lilly. I'm sure that you miss him terribly, too. You know, and he's a guy that, you know, he was very helpful to me in my career, and he's the one that brought me up to Michigan. you know, for 10 years running, playing in colleges and high schools and so forth, you know, and I could do what he couldn't do. He couldn't sing. He said, if I could sing, I wouldn't need you. But he made it possible for me to do what I did, you know, that he set those things up and backed me. And, you know, he wasn't just a great friend. He was a great supporter, you know, and he really did help me get my music out there. And I just miss him terribly.
I know
he helped so many veterans. He was just completely dedicated.
I certainly understand exactly how you feel and the things that you're saying. And, you know, every time you'd run into Gary, you'd always say, what have you done to help a veteran today?
Yeah, that was his mantra.
It was his mantra. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, Michael Jay, and I'm sorry that we don't have the opportunity to talk a little bit more, but we're going to go out today on a song that Gary loved and that I love too, and it's entitled The Last Warrior. And could you just give me about 30-second description of that song?
Yeah, it's Who's Going to Fight the Fight When the Last Warrior is Gone. Actually, they played that. You know, I was too sick to make Gary's service, but I was so honored that they used that in his service, because it was one of his favorite songs, and it did really, you know, present the challenge. Who's going to fight the fight when the last warrior's gone? Who's going to keep on fighting these righteous causes that we have, you know, committed ourselves to?
Yeah.
And he did. He lived it. He didn't just listen to the song. He lived it.
That's true. Well, Michael J. Martin, thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Anytime, Dale. Give me a call anytime. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. We're going to play that right now and go out on that song. Until next week, all of our loyal listeners, thank you so very much. You are dismissed.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
Who's going to fight the fight when the last
Okay, we're going to take just a moment here because we're switching CDs out so that we can play that full song there on back in March of 2012. We had to cut it off a little bit earlier, but I want you to hear the whole song, The Last Warrior. And Michael J. Martin, we're certainly going to miss you. Just like Gary, you're one of those people that we need to keep the war in front of people so we know what's happening. So until next week, as we're listening to Veterans Radio, we're going to go out with Michael J. Martin. You are dismissed until then.
Who's gonna fight the fight when the last warrior is gone? Who's gonna keep the pride? Who's gonna sing the war song? Who's gonna stand in the face of the slide? Who's gonna ride off? Down to the skin and the bones, and who's gonna call their bluff? Who's gonna take them all on? And when the world is rolled over with its belly up, there ain't nothing to compromise on. Cross that line when
WAAM Ann Arbor. Our First Amendment at work. Real public radio. Unbiased. Open and honest discussion.
24 hours a day.
Wham Radio.
Wham. Talk 60.
Fox News Radio. I'm Jane Metzler. A U.S.-led coalition rescue attempt ends with 13 deaths in Yemen, including American photojournalist Luke Summers and a South African teacher being held hostage by Al-Qaeda.
The men did not die as a result of the crossfire from the SEALs, but that they were specifically murdered by Al-Qaeda when they felt that there was a chance they could be rescued.
Fox's Catherine Herridge. Its government refusing comment, but Israel reportedly launching several airstrikes near Damascus, Syria today. Sources telling Fox weapons heading to Hezbollah, the intended targets. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying via satellite,
"The entire region is hemorrhaging. Violence and fanaticism are spreading throughout the Middle East, and ISIS savagery is merely one example of it."
Syria's Assad regime launching airstrikes in eastern Syria to keep a military base there from falling under ISIS control. Heading to a new life in Uruguay, six Gitmo detainees in custody since 2002, but never charged. A committee picked the final four teams winning their bowl games New Year's Day to compete in the first ever official national